or something?
No, Ernie's got a little girl, a lady that's talking to
somebody. All right. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. All the 12 tribes. He didn't say the southern kingdom. He didn't say Judah. He didn't say the northern kingdom. He didn't call them by any other name. He just said, to the land of Israel. The end. An apostrophe there. What does that mean? That exclamation point there. It's over. It's over. What's it going to be whenever he tells son, go bring my children home? It's going to be over, ain't it? The end has come upon the four corners of the land. All the land of Israel. No matter if it comes from the north, the south, the east, or the west. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. When he pronounces that on America today and the world as a whole, can you imagine what the outcome's going to be? When he says, I'm going to judge you according to your conduct, I'm going to repay you and for all your detestable practices. Verse 4 says, I will not look on you with pity or spare you. What did the New Testament say? In that day there'll be many that say unto me, what?
Lord,
Lord, Lord. But I'll say what?
I never knew you.
But Lord, I prophesied it. Lord, I never knew you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, I told you Sunday night, and I believe I forgot to go back and look today. I ain't had time really, but 66 times that is used in the book of Ezekiel that it says that then they will know that I am the Lord. The end has come for them in their heart and their life. Verse 5 said, this is what the sovereign Lord says, disaster. What do we consider a disaster? Hurricane, fire, tornadoes, floods and things like that. But he said here, disaster, an unheard of disaster is coming. Now, what does that tell you about what these people are about to witness? That's right. Something they never seen or ever imagined possible. It's about to come. An unheard of disaster is coming. Verse 6, the end has come. Now it said the unheard of disaster is coming. That's future tense, right? But he follows that up by saying the end has come. What does that mean? The decision's already been made. He made that back up here in the beginning when he said, the end has come. And so he's saying here, the end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and pay you all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Disaster, an unheard of disaster is coming. The end has come. The end has come. It has aroused itself against you. It has come. Doom has come upon you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. The day is near. There is panic and not joy upon the mountains. I'm about to pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you with all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. I will repay you in accordance with your conduct and the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that it is I, the Lord, who strikes the blow. Sound like he's pretty determined what he's going to do, hadn't he? When he said the end has come, it was over right then, folks. Over right then. For all them. And why is the Lord doing this? For all their detestable idols and things that they have been doing. He said, I'll not look on you. I'm not going to have any pity on you. I'm not going to spare you. All will be dealt with. Now, we got a lot of cover, so we're going to move pretty fast here. But just think about what that's going to be in our day and time when that happens. Verse 10 says, the day is here. It has come. Now, let's stop there just for a moment. The day is here. What does that mean to you? What is a day with the Lord? The day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years of the day. Time don't mean anything to God. We operate by the clock, don't we? Everything we do, you know, we keep appointments, we go to meetings, we do the things, we have our meals, and everything hinges around the clock. He said, the day is here, it has come. Doom has burst forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has blossomed. Violence has grown into a rod to punish wickedness. None of the people will be left out. None of that crowd, no wealth, nothing of value. You know, all those folks that put all their eggs in the basket of economics and their future of having plenty of money, having a beach house, a mountain house, having all the luxuries and things that money can buy, boats and all the things that we enjoy in our hearts and our life. He said, none of the people will be left, none of that crowd, no wealth, nothing to value. Verse 12 says, the time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice nor the seller grieve, for wrath is upon the whole crowd. What's especially the United States, what they up in arms about today as far as policy for our nation? What's Trump trying to do? Placing these tariffs on these goods coming from other nations in China and around about and stuff. And you know what? What's America's, especially the people in the stock market business and wealth and buy and sell and trade stuff, it doesn't affect me and you that bad. We may have to pay a little more at the store when we go to buy it or something, you know. But these people make a living off of buying and selling, swapping and trading. And it may turn over 10 times between China and the United States before it ever gets to a Walmart or somewhere or another. And all these people have got their little cut of the pie and stuff. With these tariffs on there and it's stopping all this, all they worried about is what? Money, money, money. The Lord seen that with this whole crowd. He said they grieve for the seller. The seller will not recover the land he has sold as long as both of them live, for the vision concerning the whole crowd will not be reversed. God's not going to change his mind. Just cause you go to him and say, now, Lord, I bought this 100 acres of land. And I was planning on dividing that up. Lowe's was going to take 40 acres over here. You know, Happy Jack was going to take 20 over here. Tom was going to do this with that part, you know. Now it's all out to wonder, you know. Lord, can't you reverse yourself? I'm in a tide. I got this money. I got it. But I need to make this sale. What's the Lord going to do? He ain't even heard him, had he? Beg and plead. They say back in the Depression and all, people jumping out the windows when the banks went down, you know, and committed suicide and all. And then what do you think people's going to be doing now? Verse 14. Though they blow the trumpet and they get everything ready, no one will go into battle, for my wrath is upon the whole crowd. Ain't going to be time to fight then, is it? And their hearts. You remember Peter when they was taking the Lord to the cross, you know, for the mock trial and everything, and he drew his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. The Lord said, it's enough. That ain't necessary. It's too late for fighting now. Well, what I see in this here, because of their sins, it's too late for them to start to want to fight now and change and do better, you know. Lord, I promise you, you'll give me another chance. Yeah, if that door's open, I'll be there, you know. Verse 15, outside is the sword. Inside are plagues and famines. We heard about those plagues and famines Sunday night. Children were eating their fathers and fathers were eating their children. That's about as tough as you get, isn't it? Those in the country will die by the sword. All those that's out there ready to go to battle, they're going to die by the sword. Those in the city will be devoured by famine and plague. All who survive and escape will be in the mountains, moaning like doves of the valley, each because of his sins. Every land will go limp. Every knee will become as weak as water. They will put on sackcloth and be clothed with terror. Their faces will be covered with shame and their heads will be shaved. They will throw their silver into the streets. Their gold will be an unclean thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to save them in the day of God's wrath. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? They'll throw their silver into the street and their gold. You know, but in that day, their gold will be not be able to save them. It'll be an unclean thing. A lot of folks, all they think about is their riches. They will not satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it has made them stumble into sin. As much as money they had in the bank, if they ain't nothing to buy, they ain't going to be in no situation with it. And verse 20, they were proud of their beautiful jewelry, and they used it to make the detestable idols and vile images. You go back, you remember when Moses was up in the mountain getting the commandments, and the men began to murmur down there, and the crowd and everything got out of hand, and he told them to, what was his nephew? Aaron, yeah. Bring all of your rings and watches and all them. They melted them down, and he said, Lord, when Jesus come ask him about it, he said, well, Lord, this is what come out, God. I put all that stuff in there, melted it down, and out come this golden calf here, you know. You think that impressed the Lord? I don't think so. Somebody had to shape it into being, didn't it? He said, I will hand it over all of this as plunder to foreigners and as foot to the wicked of the earth, and they will defile it. Did that come true? How many trips in Babylonians bring down there till they towed it everything in the world away, didn't it? I'll turn my face away from them, and they will desecrate my treasured place. Robbers will enter it and desecrate it. They went in and took everything that was of silver, of gold first, silver, then brass, and then wood. Carried it all away. Verse 23, prepare chains, because the land is full of bloodshed, and the city is full of violence. I will bring the most wicked of the nations to take possession of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated. When terror comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will try to get a vision from the prophet. The teachings of the law by the priest will be lost. Everything Jeremiah had tried to tell them in Jeremiah and in Lamentations, everything Ezekiel tried to tell them so far, fell on deaf ears, didn't it? What's people say today when you try to talk to them about the Lord? Oh, I've heard that all of my life, you know. I don't. When you're dead, you're dead. Just dig a hole and put me in it. Get through it. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will try to get a vision from the prophet, teaching of the law by the priest. Oh, they'd love to have a word from Jeremiah now, wouldn't they? They'd love to hear the old priest get up there and preach a good sermon, as will the council of the elders, those who've been placed in responsibility in the temple there. There's 20 of them, wasn't there? I believe we'll talk about them in a few minutes. And the elders. But the elders have a responsibility to the church, just like ours do today. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with despair, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standards, I will judge them. Then there's it, it says again. What does it say? Then they will know I am the Lord. Too late, but they'll know it, won't they? He said there's coming a day that what's going to happen. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess what? Jesus is Lord. Now, before we start in 8, get this in you. Noggin for me, okay? What got the children of Israel and Jerusalem so complacent to believe that the Babylonians could come and fight against them all they wanted to? God's going to take care of us. He's not going to let us die by the sword. Why did they believe that? Because the temple was there. And he ain't going to let anybody hurt his temple. That's his house. And the house that Solomon built. They hinged it all. Did that house or that temple mean anything to God? He accepted it as his house until they started doing all this idolatrous stuff. Listen to what he says here. In the sixth year and in the sixth month and on the fifth day, while I was sitting in my house and the elders of Judah were sitting before me, they were having a deacon's meeting, the hand of the sovereign Lord came upon me there. He's there and he's in this meeting here with these 20 elders, and they're talking about the situation and what's coming, and Ezekiel's trying to warn the elders of the church there, and they just continue to look over and watch over and don't try to correct anything. Look at verse 2. He said, well, the hand of the sovereign Lord came upon him. He said, I looked and I saw a figure like that of a man. Where did he see that before? In the very first chapter of Ezekiel. Remember, the Lord came to him and said, son of man, and spoke to him. He said, from what appeared to be his waist down, he was like fire. And from there up, his appearance was as bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand and took me by the hair of my head. Now stop right there and understand this. Where is Ezekiel at right now? He's in Babylonia. You know, that's a 6-month journey by land from Babylonian to Jerusalem. It'd take them 6 months to make a trip there, get loaded up, get back. Done that 3 times, the Babylonian armies stretched out around him there. But the Lord comes and appears to him and says unto him, he said here, he stretched out his hand and took me by the hair of my head. He'd have a hard time with me and Brother Curtis. I don't know. I ain't got enough. What little body did, if you touch it, it falls out. And the Spirit, sir. Yeah, he'd have to pull our ears. The Spirit lifted me up. Just think about this now. You're sitting there right in front of your 20 deacons or 20 elders. The Lord comes in. I don't believe those 20 elders saw him. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I believe he come for one purpose, and that was to get who? Ezekiel. Got him by the hair of the head, and the Scripture says, the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, And in visions of God, he took me to Jerusalem. Whoo, you talk about a balloon ride. Whew, a 747 couldn't get you as fast as Spirit got you there. He took me to Jerusalem, to the entrance to the north gate of the inner court, where the idol that provokes to jealousy stood. And he has a whole, what did he tell in Old Testament? It's true in the New. Thou shalt have no other what? God. What is an idol? Anything comes between you and God. Absolutely. And he took him to the north gate where this big statue was here that was, in God's eyes, a statue of jealousy. Verse 4 says, and there before me was the glory of the God of Israel, as in the vision that I had seen in the plain, just like I had seen him before, standing there in the north gate. And he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The utterly detestable things the house of Israel is doing here? Things that will drive me far from my sanctuary. But you will see things that are even more detestable. In other words, my notes I read down there, I put down there, you ain't seen nothing yet. They can come worship this idol here and try to make all the other idols jealous, including the Lord. But he said, you'll see things, but you're going to see things that's even more detestable. What can be more detestable than a son eating his father or a father eating his son? You know, I just can't understand anything. But there's coming a day when it'll be said. Verse 7. Then he brought me to the entrance to the court. I looked and I saw a hole in the wall. Now y'all watch this very carefully, okay? He said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. There's a little hole there, a little peephole, into the other part of the court there. He said, dig into the wall. So I dug into the wall and I saw a doorway there. When he got to tearing out the brick and the plaster, the mud, the straw, or whatever was packed in there, and got big enough where he could see the whole picture of what was inside. Now, this is in the court of the temple of God here. He said to me, go in and see the wicked and detestable things that are going on here. See the detestable things they're doing here. So I went in and I looked, and I saw portrayed over the walls all kinds of crawling things and detestable animals and all the idols of the house of Israel. Right there in the house of God, what was taking place? Every thing imaginable. Right before their eyes, and they didn't even know it. What was the priest doing? Where are they at? They had to leave their post. We learned that way back there. And go do what? Get them a job, didn't it? Because what? People wasn't taking care of them, was it? They wasn't coming to the feast days, they wasn't offering their sacrifices, you know. And the wicked priest was taking the leftover from the sacrifice of the ram or the bullock or the lamb or whatever, and he is taking it to his house. He is eating high on the pork or high on the whatever, right? You remember that? And the folks that are supposed to be in training and taking his place and coming in and doing these things, they were starving to death. Their kids, they didn't have lunch money. They didn't have school clothes. They didn't have the things they needed. They had to go to work. Had to go to work. Because the detestable things, but these things, You think they worried about what God thought about what was going on? No. What did he bring into it? He said unto them, dig a hole. Look in there. See what's there. Look at verse 9. Go in and see the wicked and detestable things they're doing. So I went in and looked, and I saw portrayed all over the walls, all kind of crawling things and detestable animals, and all of the house of Israel. And Jezananah, the son of Shaphan, was standing among them. Each had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. Ooh, they over in another part. Where's the incense supposed to be offered at? In the Sanctum Sanctorum, or Holy of Holies, King Solomon's temple. You know? And it could only be entered once a year, and then only with what? Blood. What was the purpose of the incense? To carry that sweet-smelling aroma, the sins of the people, to poor God. The priest was praying for their forgiveness and the sin. And here they are making a mockery of that. Said each one of them had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. He said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the darkness? Each at the shrine of his own idol. It scares us to death when a lot of people are practicing and doing and the way they're living their lives today, you know. You look at them on the outward demeanor and you think that's a fine person. But I tell folks all the time, you know, I kind of say it in a joking way, but I mean what I say, you know. You learn a lot about a person picking up his garbage. I had to pick up garbage about 6 months one time when we was trying to get started. I had to take my road crew and get out and dump trucks and pick up garbage. Learn a lot. I'll leave it that. Son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness? Each at the shrine of his own idol. They say the Lord does not see me. They're behind that wall there. All there is a little peephole, you know, that you can look through. But when it was dug the wall out, what come pouring out? All that sin and wrong, didn't it? The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Again, he said, you will see them doing things that are even more detestable. Knowing that the Lord's there now, what they're going to do? They're going to do even more detestable things. Verse 14 said, then he brought me to the entrance, to the mouth, to the north gate of the house of the Lord. And I saw women sitting there, mourning for Tammuz. Tammuz was a Babylonian god of spring, and we're in the spring of the year. Everything's budding, everything's coming out and stuff, and our plants that we planted in the grass is coming forward. But it was believed in their day that Tammuz was married to a husband or lover of the god Ishtar. Talking about homosexuality here and what's taking place. The followers of this cult believe that the green vegetation that swiveled and died in the hot summer because Tammuz had died and descended into the underworld. Old Tammuz, he died back in July. They're going to hold him till next April in the spring of the year, you know, because they believe that he descended into the underworld. He's waiting for that burial. Thus the worshipers worshiped and mourned and cried. And in the springtime, when old Tammuz, they brought him out, going to give him a proper burial, God was showing Ezekiel that people were no longer worshiping the true God. How stupid could you be, you know? Now, I know some folks have to hold the burial and stuff because the ground's froze and it can't, snow's deep in some of our northern countries and the states and stuff. But these folks here, they went to the extreme. What could be took place here? And God said, they no longer worshiping me. They worshiping all this. There's a many a person today in our world around about us. It's not worshiping God, are they? If they're not worshiping God, who are they worshiping? Or what are they worshiping? You know? Anything that comes between them and God. Get that message across and you've done a day's work. But I tell you, it's just like water off a duck back for some folks. Number 17 here said the branch. Let's see him. Therefore, I will deal with them in anger. No, wait a minute, I was right. He said to me, have you seen this? It is a trivial matter for the house of Judah to do the detestable things they're doing. Must they also fill the land with violence and continually provoke me to anger? Look at them, putting the branch to their nose. Detestable, stunk. I threw it away. Therefore, I will deal with them in anger. I will not look on them with pity, or I will not spare them. Although they shout in my ear, I will not listen to them. I think old Dizzy Dean and what he said about baseball. Remember what he said? It ain't over till it's over. But I'm going to add a little bit to that. But when it's over, it's over. And God said what when we started tonight in these two chapters? It is what? The end. The end. Ooh. I can't even, in my wildest imagination, I can't comprehend all of it, that what God's going to do. If those folks had the techniques and the products and the skills and the abilities and the communication and stuff that we got today, it would have been awesome, wouldn't it? You know, when I just see what those Egyptians can do with the brick that the Israelites made for them out of the straw and the mud and stuff. All those great buildings and all those empires that they built, pyramids that they have, and they were smart. And as I've told you many times, when I went to Washington and I looked at the law library up there and I went to all those different buildings and the Capitol, and I seen those things built in the 1900s, 1910 to didn't have the ability to, the mechanical stuff to do with it. That was all handmade. That was all labor, you know. Watch these bridges built, you know, in that day and time, and how men, women both, worked in those days. The man may have went to a job somewhere, but the woman run the household, kept the garden up, done the things that was necessary. You know, you can't get people to work like that to stand. You just can't get people to work. Everybody wants to get on that. I don't even know where to turn it on and turn it off. Yeah. I got reprimanded today for that. I was going down the road, and this man was preaching up a storm on radio, and I was kind of going along with him for a while there. To, he said, all of you folks that 20 years ago thought that the internet and computers and stuff was stupid and you refused to get on board with it, said, you left behind. I said, yeah, I'm way back out here. I'm way back out here. Because many days, you know, I need to do something. I got to go hunt somebody to, will you send this email for me, will you? Hey, all I can do is say, yes, ma'am, and them little bits and wasn't on there, you know, with the thumbs up and stuff, I couldn't communicate with. All you wizards, y'all laugh at me, huh? That's me. You got a computer, Miss Winnie? No, thank you. That's my kind of girl.
She got Gerald.
She got Gerald. That's a sign. All right. Any other thought? Well, I can tell you one. 10, 11, 12. We just got the tip of the iceberg tonight. The next three chapters. What God does for idolatry. Those idols. You're going to see something. Anything you want to share? Sheldon dismisses, brother.